We're joined now by a researcher who studies the white supremacy movement and who met and interviewed the Wisconsin shooter, Wade Page, over the course of several years, starting in 2001. Pete Seamy is co-author of American Swastika. He teaches criminology at the University of Nebraska, Omaha. Pete Seamy, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
You met Wade Page when he was living in Southern California. He was living with another white supremacist that you were following. What did he tell you about how he became part of this hate movement, the white power movement?
The way Page explained it to me was that he had been aware of racist skinheads and other white supremacists during late adolescence. He was involved in a punk music scene and had some minor contacts with some of those folks, but didn't necessarily identify with them or define himself in such way. But that it was during his time in the military that he really began to see himself and define himself within these neo-Nazi terms, white supremacists. And at that point in time during his military years, he actually met some individuals who were also in the military that were already involved.
Wade Page was stationed at Fort Bragg back in the 1990s at a time when a number of white supremacist groups were found to be very entrenched there on base. And in fact, there were two neo-Nazi soldiers who were convicted of killing a black couple nearby in the 90s. What did he say about the overall culture of white supremacists in the military, in particular at Fort Bragg at that time?
He said it was around. The way he explained it to me was that the military for him was really an important experience in shaping how he saw the world. He told me that specifically that if you don't go into the military a racist, you're certain to leave as one.
Did he explain what he meant by that?
Yes, he did. He suggested that the military the deck was completely stacked against white people, that African-American personnel in the military were routinely promoted over whites when they didn't deserve it, that they weren't disciplined for misconduct, that they were coddled as compared to whites. And he came to feel that, basically the military organization, the system, was completely set up against whites.
I want to talk to you about another aspect of Wade Page's background, and that's the role of hate music. He was very involved in a number of white power bands, hate core bands. Here's a bit of a song called Self-Destruct from one of his bands known as End Apathy. So we're hearing him in that song saying self-destruct, self-destruct, self-destruct. There would be a lot of hatecore lyrics, though, that would be far more violent and explicit than that, right?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the lyrics are very, very explicit, advocating, lynchings and beatings and other, violent acts. But then it is important to point out that that's not all of the lyrics, that there is a pretty wide kind of cross-section within this genre of, white power neo-Nazi music. And some of the lyrics are much more subtle, innocuous, much more kind of coded.
And I've seen lists of hundreds of these bands with names like Ethnic Cleansing, Angry Aryans, Kill or Be Killed. What's the role that this hate music movement plays within the supremacist movement itself?
Well, the music is central to the movement in a lot of ways. It plays a vital role in terms of offering opportunities for potential recruitment, offering opportunities for the generation of revenue, and then probably most importantly, music pulls people together. It gives them opportunities to get together for music shows, music festivals, small shows, large ones, coming together on the internet and talking about music shows. All of these are opportunities for them to share in these kinds of occasions where they're talking, with spending time with, communicating with like-minded others who share the same view of the world as they do, and talking about, the future and what needs to be done.
Pete Seamy, when you first realized that the killer in Wisconsin was, in fact, Wade Page, this man whom you'd spent time with, interviewed over a number of years, what did you think? Did you think back to anything he had told you that said, yeah, he has actually put his supremacist beliefs into action, and I could see this would happen?
Well, when I initially found out that it was Page, I felt disgusted. I felt sick, and it was very surreal. But certainly, you know, I began to try and process and think about the time I spent with him, think about the experiences. And, you know, yeah, there's a few things that stand out in retrospect. He had, definitely had a drinking problem. But again, that's not all that uncommon in this world. Drinking is pretty central, especially to the white power neo-Nazi skinhead culture. You know, he had an unstable work record. But again, there are certainly other individuals that are part of this world who also have problems keeping a job, you know, holding a job down. You know, yeah, he had a lot of tattoos. You know, he was starting to tattoo his body with, you know, symbols associated with neo-Nazism. You know, in retrospect, there certainly are some things that may be important in terms of trying to understand what led him to what he ultimately did. But if you have red flags that are pretty common, then they're not all that helpful in terms of trying to assess potential threat.
Pete Seamy, thanks for talking with us today.
Thanks for having me.
That's Pete Seamy of the University of Nebraska, Omaha. His book is American Swastika: Inside the White Power Movement's Hidden Spaces of Hate.